Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is A Lot to Learn with Austin Rogers. For the guy who knows everything, he's still got a lot to learn. Without further ado, here's Austin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It is a podcast, so I have zero idea what time you are listening to it because people listen to podcasts whenever they might listen to them. Today is going to be really cool. We're going to learn something new, something that is buzzy right now. We're going to learn about blockchain from Refurium Vice President of Finance, Cheng Wong, a fellow New Yorker. Welcome, Cheng.
Thank you very much.
You are a Lower East Side guy, right?
That's right. From New York, similar to you.
Chinese American from the Lower East Side. Big boy made good, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very cookie cutter.
Yeah, very cookie cutter. No, no, that is not very cookie cutter. That is the dream. Where are you from? Lower East Side. Ah, shit.
Yeah, I mean business.
So today, you are the Vice President of Finance for Refurium, which is an Ethereum-based blockchain data company, correct?
Yes, in a way.
Yes, in a way.
That's now, the essence of it.
Yeah. And that's where we're going to start, because that's all I got.
Yep.
I don't know what I just said. And a lot of people hear these buzzwords going around Ethereum, blockchain, Bitcoin. Yada, yada, yada. But no one really... You... Being in this industry, I think you're the perfect one to parse this out for us. Tell us what these terms mean. Tell us what this ecosystem, this economic ecosystem is, because it's not just financial transactions.
No,
it's a whole world of things. Encryption and data security and all these other things are all under this umbrella that we call the buzzword blockchain.
That's right.
What is a blockchain?
Yeah, so... Very loaded question, but I think something that's pretty interesting. Well, very interesting. So blockchain is basically just the underlying technology. Let's distill it down to kind of that term. And allows, like you said, for encryption, allows for immutability. So you can't go in and change it unless all of these intervening factors where you can kind of like have a 51% attack, all this kind of stuff. But let's not dive into the weeds there.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing where most people, when they hear about blockchain, the idea is there are kind of two schools of thought. One is, hey, this is too complicated. How do we make it so that grandma can understand it?
Mm-hmm.
The other is, hey, this is just really high tech stuff. And only these quote unquote smart people in blockchain should understand it. My perspective, and I think this is shared in our company at Refurium, is that ultimately it doesn't matter. Because adoption is what matters, right? Understanding. So, for example, let's take something that we use on a day-to-day basis that is very pervasive, but no one truly understands. If I said, hey, Austin, do you know the underlying technology that allows bank transfers, wires, and ACH transfers to happen?
No. There's probably, I don't know, is it like a peer-to-peer thing? Does it go bank to bank? Do they have some servers offsite? Is there a third-party administrator who does it? No, I know I've got my routing number and my ABA number and my account number, and then I type it in, and then poof, the money's there.
Exactly.
So I don't care how it happens.
You don't care, and nor should the world at large. We leave that to the technologists. We leave that to the experts in the field who are innovating, right?
Right.
Because ultimately, it should be an abstraction. It's like, hey, there's this underlying technology that's hyper secure, hyper fast, and it just works. That's all you need to know.
Right. I mean, I don't know how the cell phone works. Well, I do. There's little antennas, but there's radio waves, and it goes to the little antenna. But I don't know where it goes from the little antenna to go to the satellite so I can call. Yeah, no, I don't know how it works.
Exactly.
It works, though.
It just works.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's kind of the trope. Like, there was a Simpsons episode of, like, hey, like, how does a microwave actually work? I don't know if you've seen that episode.
Yeah.
And there's, like, you know, a very, like, basic scientific explanation for it. But at the end of it who really cares? As long as it serves a purpose for everyone, doing what you needed to do, that's all that really matters.
So we don't really care what the underlying technology of blockchain is.
Mm-hmm.
What are the uses of blockchain?
Yep.
I mean, first of all, we don't care what the technology is, but what is it? It's parsed data that's split in secure ways mm-hmm. and comes back together by being rearranged through a certain key and gatekeeper. Essentially.
I don't know. Correct
me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so essentially everyone that participates in a public blockchain, everyone that participates in a particular blockchain, let's say Ethereum, right? Very, very well-known, second biggest, well, depending on market capitalization, but anyway, one of the top three coins, right?
Yes.
And the way it works, everyone who mines Ethereum or holds Ethereum, they hold a copy of the entire ledger, the entire blockchain, right?
Yeah.
And so at any given moment in time, whenever a new transaction or anything is done on the blockchain that's added to it, everyone simultaneously, right, can verify that or unverify
because
it, right?
They get it immediately.
Yeah, because it's totally decentralized.
It's just adding to that entire, you know, it's like, I think I got it. All right, correct me if I'm wrong, Chang.
Hit me.
But it's like Simon. Red.
Yep.
Red, green.
Yeah.
Red, green, yellow. Red, green, yellow, yellow. Red, green, yellow, blue. Blah, 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 blah. So we're just adding the G.
Yep.
And the B. And the Y.
That's right.
It's just super, super, super long, and each new transaction adds another letter on the end of it.
Yes. That's a really, I think, clever way to abstract it.
Okay.
It just like continuously adds to it, and it can't ever be changed.
Now I get it.
You can't go back in time. So if, let's say you want to do, you know, red, green, yellow, blue,
yeah.
and you're like, wait, blue was a mistake. I want to go back to red.
It's there.
You go red, green, yellow, blue, and then you add a red that says blue was wrong, but you can't go back and delete the blue.
I get it. Wow. Yeah. So this data is so, it's permanent.
It's permanent.
Because it's decentralized, because if every single person on Earth is wiped out, but one person still has their data alive, they've got the whole thing.
That's right.
So it can be restarted.
It can be, exactly.
Yeah.
As long as there's one unit of it, it can be restarted. So that creates another thing with security, right? Which is usually the preponderance of the weight determines what's true in the blockchain.
Right.
So this 51% attack thing that everyone talks about is if like you suddenly had enough computing power to control 51% of the blockchain,
uh-huh.
you can rewrite what is true. But to do that is like
implausible.
It's completely impossible.
It's completely decentralized.
Yep.
Therefore, no unseen force can actually interfere with it because accruing 51% of it is a statistical improbability.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And technologically, like in a theoretical sense, you can like do a math problem and say it's possible theoretically.
Right.
But practically speaking, it's with a blockchain as big and pervasive with as many participants.
You would need computing.
You need more computing power than exists on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is amazing. We've only just started and we're like 8 minutes in, and already you, in this quick of a time, have explained this concept in a more accessible way than anyone else possibly has.
Okay.
So now I get it. So now I get the underlying technology.
Mm-hmm.
What are
use cases?
Yes. How do we use this?
Yeah.
How does it make I'm not going to say make the world a better place, but how do we use this other than the headline grabbing bitcoins of the world?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I think there are a lot of companies, a lot of smart people, a lot of maybe perhaps not so smart people trying to figure this problem out. And the most logical use cases are things that are built on, if you can kind of abstract it into like a chain structure, something that's very linear, right?
Uh-huh.
So one, you know, the obvious thing that comes to mind for me at least is supply chain, for example.
Right.
Right. Or so for example, let's say if I had, let's say diamonds, right?
Yeah.
If I mine this diamond in a particular mine, how do I know that it's legitimate? How do I know it came from this mine? How do I know it's not blood diamond, for example, right? There's this like, So currently what exists is like they etch some sort of like laser engraving to track that diamond is like ethically sourced and all that kind of stuff, right? However, if you didn't have that laser etching, what would happen, right? So you would essentially, let's say, you know, in a particular diamond mine, every diamond that comes out of it has a particular thing assigned to it, right? So every diamond is unique. You would assign something to it, and that would exist on let's call it the De Beers blockchain or whatever, right? That's a whole other story with De Beers.
But no. We don't want to get into them.
We don't want to get into them. And as that goes along, right?
Artificial scarcity is a real thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, right? Okay, continue.
Yeah, so in that way, every time something changes, that particular diamond changes hands,
tick.
You would
tick.
Add the blue,
tick.
The red, the yellow.
Tick.
Right. And so you can always go back and say, you know what, I'm going to go back to the original block or whatever block I want to go to and say, you know, whose hands did this pass through?
It's the provenance. It's a chain of custody and provenance.
That's exactly.
I mean, wow, the ramifications of that, just that one use case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm an art fan and like
art is a perfect example.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I love collector cars too. The provenance of the collector car. Is that the one that did race in the 1952 Le Mans? Yes, it is. You know, we know that is because it's documented and the VIN has moved from hand to hand to hand.
Exactly.
And we've got a complete chain. Okay, that's a great, that's a really great use case.
I think, so that's more of like a use case, I think, that's kind of academic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
One that, let's say, would apply to, you know, regular folks, you and I, everyone else out there, that would, two examples really, car ownership.
Yep.
As well as home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of cars right now, if you were to go buy a used car, right, I've done it, plenty of people do. And buy
I did
used
it
cars.
3 days ago.
So there you go. It's like, hey, you know, how do I know that this car wasn't actually just caught in a flash flood?
Yeah, I got the Carfax though.
Yeah, you got the Carfax.
Yeah.
But that can be, instead of being in like a centralized record that is owned by Carfax and in Carfax servers that's hosted by, I don't know, Amazon or Microsoft somewhere.
Yep.
And you have to trust them, right? That this is the data that they have.
Yeah.
Instead of that, all of that, instead of being on paper or digitally centralized, it can be on the blockchain and readily accessible
and
to
everyone
anybody.
Has it
yeah.
for every car.
For every
so
car.
You just look at it and it can never, ever be tampered with because it's not coming from a central location.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
And then that kind of trustless, it does. You have no need for trust, right? Because I don't need to believe you that your database is right, that you're doing the right thing ethically for me.
Right.
I don't need to trust you.
Because it physically cannot be tampered with.
It's built into the system, yeah.
Wow. That is remarkable. That is remarkable. And yeah, so you have like the itemized history of everything if we decide to blockchain it.
Yep, that's right. And there's a thing called, I don't know if most people know, but smart contracts. So that's something that you can build into, for example, the Ethereum blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are a lot of apps that are built on top of it, ours being one of them as well, where it's basic. What a smart contract is essentially a set of rules that say if these conditions happen, the output is that. So you can build it into, for example, a car contract to say if the balance goes from whatever it is to zero, you automatically transfer title of the ownership from the dealership or the bank to the individual.
And that can be coded in
be coded
perpetuity
in.
Mm-hmm. for a multitude of cases and uses where if X happened, then so you never actually touch the contract. It just appears to you.
Yeah, it just appears.
Because
it just
the requisites were fulfilled in the contract, and then poof, there it is. I didn't sign it. I didn't do anything, but that contract is now in my possession.
Exactly.
And then if someone else fulfills the other half of it, it goes to them automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That's
So you
amazing.
You can eliminate a lot of steps out of the process, right? You don't have to kind of go through this, hey, who's got, you know, the pink slip or whatever it is.
It's just
right?
An if P, then Q.
That's it.
If P is fulfilled, then Q. It moves on to someone else.
Yeah. No more paper records, all that kind of stuff. It's just all immortalized in blockchain. So you imagine like each vehicle has its own chain.
Right. And of course, you know, if like we said in the back in the day, earlier in the show, if there's one person still utilizing it, it still remains.
Mm-hmm.
So it cannot be other than everyone dies. It cannot terminate.
Right.
Yeah. Because it'll just hop from machine to machine to user to user.
Just everyone has a copy of it because it's just that's the way it needs to happen. So everyone in like who owns a car or who subscribes to this particular blockchain.
Yep.
So I would imagine like all of the dealerships in the world, right, would have a copy of it.
Yep.
So you'd have to like simultaneously attack and own 51% of all dealerships in the world.
Right.
Like, not going to happen.
Yeah.
So
in theory. I thought of something. Yeah, so Fight Club can't happen with blockchain. You can't blow up all the credit card buildings at the end and be like, we wiped the debt off of everything. Nope, won't happen. Well, that's a bad thing, because maybe that. No. Okay, so the good thing is we get all the data saved. Bad thing is we'll never be able to wipe away debt again.
Exactly, and really, really, really quickly.
Oh, no, please take all the time you need.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. So, which is kind of ironic. Like we go through a lot of these things, like people doing illicit activities, for example, like arms dealer, like money laundering, for whatever illicit activities, like drug trafficking and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And people are transacting on the blockchain. It's actually kind of silly in a way because everything is recorded for all time.
Right. Your e-wallet shows that it was in this position to that possession to that possession.
Exactly.
So,
so the thing that's difficult for authorities, it's really stupid.
Yeah.
It's actually one of the worst things you can use to move illicit funds around.
Is Bitcoin or something like that.
Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever it is.
Because it's keeping the whole record, and
it
shows it's in there
the entire
forever.
Trail. It's an automatic audit trail, right? The difficulty that authorities have with it is how do you link like a wallet address or multiple wallet address to a real-life personal account?
Right,
Once that kind of wall is broken and the linkages are made,
then it's literally
game over.
Yeah, you open up the book and you'd be like, oh, yeah, no, it went from Switzerland to Iraq to back to Swiss. Yeah, it's always through Switzerland, isn't it? Yeah. Fuck you, Swiss. Otherwise, there's like seven of them. What are they going to do to me? That is so remarkable. What I'm thinking of is just this whole chain of custody and everything. There's a whole cottage industry in the United Kingdom where lawyers, barristers or whatever the hell they're called, they're always there scouring 1,000-year-old land deeds because often a deed would be made for 999 years or 1,144 years because they thought, you know, the apocalypse is nigh. The apocalypse is coming in 3 days, so we don't care. Sure, we'll write. So there's this whole cottage industry of lawyers scouring parchments from, like, 1241 and finding out that, oh, my God, that parcel of land is going up for sale in 14 days. Let's go get it before they catch on that their 1,200-year lease has expired. Those days are gone.
Those days are gone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, paper especially, that's, you know, wonderful example of a very direct use case for blockchain, especially in property, right? You no longer have to have counting records of, you know, deeds and property lines and all this kind of stuff. It's all recorded. So when it comes time for, you know, closing a deal on your real estate, if you want to buy a home or plot of land, an apartment, whatever it may be.
Ping. Done.
Done.
Fulfilled the requirements. It's in your possession. That's and right. Anyone can look at it at any time.
Yeah. Imagine not having to pay real estate fees. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be really cool. That would be
or
really
fractional
cool.
Fractional percentages of it because you need some sort of money to kind of operate the blockchain. But
right.
That's fractional.
And it's ultimate P2P, right?
Yeah.
This contract has written in its code that it automatically moves from Chang to Austin. That's it. It can't do anything else.
Who needs lawyers?
Yeah.
Right? At that point in time, if it's written in there, that's it. It's done.
Holy crap. That is amazing. Now, let's go back to the Ethereums and the Bitcoins. Let's talk about the financial ramifications of this decentralized currency, this beyond global currency. I mean, it's almost beyond comprehension how these currencies operate. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So from a currency perspective, it's I don't necessarily think blockchain nor Ethereum, and there are, you know, far more technical people I think who are more qualified to talk about like the technical aspects as to why it's good or bad or for one or the other. But just from a currency perspective, I don't think Bitcoin and Ethereum, they're just kind of the first go, right?
Right.
They're literally V1, the first iteration.
Yes.
And it's kind of blown up. Most of the run-up, I would have to say, and a lot of the rundown has been not fundamentally driven, but driven a lot more by speculation and emotion, right? Because people are like, oh, wow, this thing is going up. It's on a meteor or a climb.
Right. It was 19,000 in August.
Yeah.
Now it's like 750 or something like that.
Yeah. Bitcoin is like in the 3,000s.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it is. I bought one for fun. It's worth it's worth less now.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. I'll just get it for fun and I'll just periodically look at it.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, because, you know, Friendster, MySpace, Facebook, mm-hmm. right?
Exactly.
And then what supplants Facebook? Because Facebook is not monolithic. Something will happen to Facebook. So that now that brings up an interesting question. What happens to your Bitcoin when it becomes valueless? Did you just lose the money? Yeah. Or do you transfer it to another? Will we constantly have to be moving from wallet to wallet to wallet, from currency to currency to currency as they go in and out of vogue? Or will it stabilize? Or can we not even speculate right now?
Yeah, so I think... So number one, if you're putting money into any of these digital assets, any coin, right, whether it be... Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever coin else, Ethereum, right? It's all ethereal, right? There's nothing truly backing it. There's no kind of intrinsic value, if you will. You can kind of argue, hey, what, you know, the amount of power it takes to kind of mine and prove and all this kind of stuff,
right,
should be baked into the value of the underlying currencies, but that's not really how it works. Ultimately, it's really driven by speculation and faith. It's kind of like our money, right?
Well, yeah, US dollars. Yes, it is a fiat currency.
Yeah.
It is backed by nothing other than fiat. Let it be.
Yep.
Faith in government, right?
Exactly.
I mean, is there really a gross logical jump from my Chase Bank to my Bank of America account to my Goldman Sachs account? I'm just picking up and moving ones and zeros. Mm-hmm. I still haven't seen that money. Because it came to me via wire transfer, and then I decided how it gets split up, and then I see interest rates, and I see investments mature and flourish, but I still don't see that money. Is there really much of a difference?
That's a really good question. You know, it's from that perspective, the way you describe it, there's not really that much of a difference, but there's one underlying factor that makes it very different. In that, two really. One, FDIC insured.
Okay, right? Okay,
so
correct.
That backed,
yes,
by the government.
There's a regulatory body behind it.
Yeah, there's a cap, but at least there is some sort of insurance,
yes,
with Bitcoin or, yep, any sort of cryptocurrency. There's none.
Right.
And the other element of it is the dollar, though it does fluctuate in value. Mm-hmm. You know that if you have $2 today, you can go out and buy this Starbucks coffee or tea 10 days from now, and it'll still be $2,
yeah,
right?
Might be 205.
Might be 205.
Might be 198.
But very small,
yeah,
right? But with Bitcoin, you might say, I have $3,000 worth of Bitcoin today. Tomorrow might be worth $1,000.
Yep.
Or it can be worth $10,000.
Yep.
Right? So that as an intrinsic store of value isn't quite there because it just fluctuates way too much and based on no fundamentals other than just...
On the human market. You know, it's the human. It's the human faith that is altering these values.
That's right. Just people speculating, right? Because the market is small enough that single groups or single individuals can go in and pump or dump, right, to move the price dramatically.
Right.
So to answer your original
question,
if Bitcoin, whatever it is, goes to zero, you're SOL.
Yep.
Right. So in that case, it's not that great. What I would in terms of, let's like jump ahead a little bit to,
yeah,
what would cryptocurrency look like as,
yeah,
far as
let's
maturity?
Say, yeah.
Like, what does a mature state look,
yes,
like?
Yes, let's, yeah. Like back in the day, the only thing you could, you know, the only fungible asset which you could transfer from person to person, I'm just making it up, but was a gold coin. Mm. The gold coin was the only thing you could use. And if you did not have the gold coin, you could not make any transaction. Mm-hmm. Then eventually the gold coin you keep at home. And we issue a paper note that says, this is worth the same as the gold coin that you kept at home.
Right.
So I got the gold coin, it's at home, but here's the money.
That's
right.
Or it's backed by the bank, so to speak. Right?
Well,
you have your gold sack at,
yes,
the bank.
And then that's the next,
that's
one.
The next step, yeah.
That's the next one, the bank. And then the next one is the government. And then the government gets rid of the fact that there is a gold coin back there that this is the value of. And it goes, this is just the value of. That, I think, that is where every currency is right now. I do not think there are... Are there any currencies still specie backed left?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't think so. I don't think any currency.
Nothing notable.
Maybe Saudi Arabia is backed by oil. Yes, it is, because they're corrupt and evil. You don't have to answer this one. Yeah, no, I'm not editing it because I fucking hate those guys. So right now, the world currencies and also the Forex markets, mm-hmm, we are at mature fiat currency. We're at peak fiat currency. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is the pinnacle. You really can't go anywhere else. What is peak mature blockchain currency look like?
So I think I'll give you a cop-out answer and then my answer. So
yes.
The cop-out answer is no one kind of really knows.
Right.
But my answer, if I had to theorize a little bit here, is it would behoove world government.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And specifically, governments who control the biggest currencies in the world, i.e. the Chinese yuan, Japanese yen, the euro, right?
Yep.
The US dollar, Russian ruble, maybe,
yep.
To create their own blockchain for their own currency.
Reason being,
if you can imagine how much, how many resources, how many agencies, rules, regulations go into monitoring.
Counterfeiting. Gone.
Counterfeiting.
Don't need that anymore.
Exactly.
Law enforcement. Again, we want to know where the drugs came from. Bing. There it is.
Exactly.
You know? Wow.
You can instantly track anything on your in your entire circulating supply of currency, no matter what, no matter where, no matter when.
Remember, you know, I think it was in the early 2000s, maybe mid-2000s, people started putting those stamps on dollar bills and you'd like sign when you got it. I don't know. There's like,
oh, it was I wasn't
like,
aware of that.
It was, like, it was like a pre-viral viral thing. Like there were, you'd look for these, there was a really funny stamp that people would put on like, and it was like a guy put his name on it and said, if you get this, send me, it was his name and email address. And he was following this dollar bill around the world or the $5 bill or whatever it was around the world. And I remember a friend goes, look, I got, let's call it the Dave bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had Dave's email address. And I got the Dave bill. And it was like a pre-viral, viral sensation.
That's very cool, actually.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's like but that, one, right?
Right, because this guy thought, he's like, where does my dollar go? You know, not where does my dollar go in the esoteric sense, but physically where does my dollar move around?
Yeah.
That would be amazing. And think of the data sets you could gather from that and figure out all these things about humanity that we never, oh God.
Yeah, I mean, it goes everywhere
wow.
from not just enforcement, but I think you touched on a really good subject, which is like,
What can we learn about behavior? That we don't
what
know.
What actually works? Like, hey, if we do this stimulus program, if we inject this kind of money into public works or here or there or the other.
And they can literally look down and see where the dollar went.
Exactly.
That one individual dollar, you can see it. At one day, it was born mm-hmm. of the government because they say blockchain born for this one single dollar.
Yeah.
And then it's issued in a tax refund.
Mm-hmm.
And then that tax refund is used to buy a refrigerator. And the refrigerator, oh my
yeah.
God.
And the argument of it's like, oh, hey, you know, both sides of the aisle, right? Like the arguments of, you know, on the Republican side, the traditional, hey, there's trickle-down economics.
Right.
Well, we can now prove it.
We can prove it.
Does it actually trickle down,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
If we put in, you know, this, you know, Bill Gates gets $5 million extra in his tax return.
Yeah.
Does he spend any of it?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, we now know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. But then
but at the same time, there's
privacy.
No, like, privacy.
Aha.
Exactly.
There we go.
So there.
Well, you know, but can't there be privacy?
There can.
Because it
can.
Will be anonymous where the bill has moved, because the bill has moved this, again, this theoretical single dollar bill has moved from the government to someone's tax rebate
mm-hmm.
to some refrigerator company.
That's
you know,
right.
We don't know exactly what it is. We're being followed by our cell phones wherever we go, anyway. Mm-hmm. That data is being mined by either good companies or bad companies, depending on it. This is our modern life. Our cars are being followed, and companies like Tesla and Mercedes are utilizing that, you know, the streams of our traffic to figure out how to make routes more efficient.
Yeah.
Where our packages are routed. Mm-hmm. We're being tracked anyway. I don't see the logic. Like, who were the guys who smashed all the steam presses in 18th century Britain? The Luddites, I believe. The Luddites?
You're in on that one. I don't know.
Well, anyway, they were like, well, who's going to make the shoes if the machines make the shoes? And they smashed all the machines. Guess what? The machines still made the shoes.
Exactly. You know? Someone will just build new ones.
Right. Yeah. So I don't, I've already resigned my privacy to, I like my gadgets.
Yeah, and to that end, you don't have to necessarily relinquish your privacy altogether. It's a very sensitive subject because, you know, data privacy and all that kind of stuff. You know, there are people like you. I'm very much on your kind of school of thought. Is like, hey, my data's out there already. I'll just do what I can to protect like the most important kernels. But in terms of the government, right? They can you can have multiple layers of encryption and anonymization.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a single chain, right? So when, for example, you can have the single a single chain of the entire USD circulations, the supply, right?
Yeah.
And when you can kind of build off chain, so each individual might have their own off chain wallet. Right.
Right. So then there's a firm stop mark. You can only go back this far because you've got a little reset there. It's still all in there.
But then whenever you spend or don't spend, so no one knows the balance per se,
right,
other than the government.
Yeah.
But when you spend or accumulate, right, it has to go back into the main blockchain and verify, say, hey, okay, I'm coming back in. Was what you left with the same that you're coming in with?
Right.
To make sure that you didn't do something nefarious on your end.
Right. So it branched out.
Yep.
And it branched back in and just verifies. It was like, oh, this was a generic transaction. Mm-hmm. Cool. You know, if investigators or regulatory bodies have to go look at that, they can look at that. But I'm fine being labeled as a one or a zero. Mm-hmm. And everyone around me being labeled as a one and a zero. So we can figure out all these problems with society by tracking the money and figuring out if, you like you said, if cash infusions into society work or who's spending
charitable
the money.
Donations, anything you could possibly imagine.
Where is that charity? Is that charity a bunch of shit bags? Yeah. Are they pocketing my money, or is it actually going to hurricane relief? You know,
exactly.
It's I'm on board. I'm sold. I'm totally sold. Absolutely.
Absolutely. The trustless is the important kernel, right? Like having the lack of a need to trust you as an individual.
Yeah.
You just trust the system because it's just always right.
Well, and because the system can't be wrong. It's literally just a data stream. It's not an AI. It's not Skynet. It's mm-hmm. not, it's, there's no nefarious. You know what it's like? It's a freaking protein string.
That's pretty good.
It's a protein string. It's a DNA.
Yeah.
It's an A, T, G, T, G, A, T, G, whatever the other ones are.
Yeah.
And it just gets keep added on. Like, DNA fundamentally does nothing other than, okay, you plug this code into other things and stuff happens.
Yeah, and it reads the code and the thing knows what to do
based
on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got claws, you know?
Yeah.
Cool, right? That's all it is.
It really is. And the thing is with it doesn't change as you pass from one generation to the other.
Right.
It just adds to it.
It just
so
adds
your DNA
to.
Just if you will, that to use that analogy, your DNA strand just kind of expands forever. And you can go back, like, literally, if we were to use DNA and blockchain it, right? You can go back to the beginning of time, like, hey, what was the original organism that first
existed? Right. Oh, right. Because you can, in modern science, you can trigger those things and be like, oh, the hypothalamus is like the really old part of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is new. I don't know if that's true or not. Someone correct me. But whatever. And like, you know, oh, when you are gestating in the womb, you do have gills. Oh, we have that activator in there somewhere in there, and it's all the way back there because DNA keeps growing and growing and growing. So we got that dollar. It was issued as a fiat blockchain dollar by the U.S. government on May 1st, 2024.
That's right.
And here's where it went.
Yep, it was minted, or so to speak, like the Genesis block, the original block is created out of the treasury.
Chang, I am on board for this.
Awesome.
I'm on board for this because I can, yes, yes. You know what? Federal government, once he's gone and we get some real people.
But when we get adults in the room.
Yeah, when we get adults in the room, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You have to get out. You have to get out ahead of, no offense to the entrepreneurs, but they're letting the market dictate. This has to be top down.
Oh yeah, this really has to be top down. I think adoption at that level will create like ultimate legitimacy.
Yeah.
Right? And there's who is better poised and has more resources than the
massive
government.
Governments. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. China
and
Europe.
So, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and just think of the benefits for, you know, what if Africa had one Africa currency, one Africa blockchain? All the corruption of all those corrupt governments, it will be exposed, and then oh my God, blockchain will create a stateless. Oh, this is a utopian anarchist dream.
Exactly.
Oh
yeah.
My God, no borders. You don't need it because you just track the blockchain. You don't even need a passport. Oh my God, we're doing this. I'm on board. Wipe it all out.
The use case is, as you kind of think about the fundamentals and what it means, the use case is just kind of ballooning.
You don't need a passport anymore.
Yeah.
Because your blockchain just gets added to as you move border to border, and it doesn't. You're not a citizen of anything. You're just like, okay, yeah, we're gonna need controls, and we're gonna need security, and we're gonna need checkpoints because bad people do bad things.
Exactly.
But you're just Chang. I'm just Austin. I walk through that door. My blockchain gets added on it. Oh, he walked through the door into what was once the United States of America.
Yeah.
We know he's fine, and so he goes on his way.
Yep.
And then he's in Brazil, and then he's in Puerto Rico, and it's all cool.
Yep, totally. Yeah, so they're the implications.
Oh my God, I'm on board.
They're absolutely expansive and I think world changing if you think about like all the things that we can do currently that have middlemen, that have inefficient processes, that have paper, digital records, that are, you know, like all this like hacking stuff, right? Like all of your information, for example, if I once created a Yahoo account because, you know, people use Yahoo accounts 15 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, Yahoo gets a data breach. Oh, shit, all my stuff is out there.
Yeah.
But with, you know, encryption, so here's another particular use case. It's like all of your personal data.
Yep.
What if it was encrypted and you own that? You own the Austin blockchain. And
yeah.
If anyone wanted to tap into it, they would have to pay you for it. So, for example, like...
That's cool.
Facebooks of the world.
I'll sell.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll sell.
But
too.
Right now, you're not. You're just giving.
No, I'm giving. And they're collecting.
Yeah.
And they're using. And they are using, you know, we know that our phone microphones are on, you know, because you'll talk about something, then, hey, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Google recommends that
I'm
you like ramen.
I'm like, I literally just talked about ramen. I've seen it like on Instagram, you know, all of a sudden, paid ad. I'm like, yeah, you're on. Yeah. Your microphone is on right now. Again, just tell us the microphone's on and I'm cool with it. Tell us you're tracking us. And I'm cool with it. And then when I don't want to track, I got a mute button and I shut it off. And then, by the way, you can't follow me, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for most of the time, we understand this data, okay, it's useful to people who are selling things.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have it in the blockchain world, it's useful to everyone for everything.
Yeah, and it's not just that. You own your own information. So,
yeah.
For example, right now, this is kind of a little bit of the premise of... Referium, right? So if you think about the way how your data is structured now, I have a Facebook account, I have a Google account, Google takes my data. Granted, there's an exchange of value, right? Because I'm using their stuff and their stuff is predominantly free.
I'm using their product. Yes.
Exactly. And so Facebook, you know, I get to connect my friends, see photos and all this kind of stuff. There is intrinsic value to that. In exchange, I'm giving them all of my information and then they can sell that to advertisers who then advertise to me.
Right.
But the advertisers are paying Facebook. Shouldn't I get a share of that? Because ultimately, we are the people.
We're the product.
We are the product.
Yeah.
So shouldn't we get some share of that value? So Referm's premise is cut out the marketing middleman, right? And reward end users or owners of their data for taking actions that advertisers, merchants, whatever it is, want them to do.
Yes.
It's essentially paying for your information, your action, your eyeballs.
Because
right now, like if you scroll through your Instagram feed, you see a bunch of crap that you might like or you might not like. Like, why is that in my real estate?
Yeah.
Right? What if every time you see something like that, there is some sort of microtransaction in the background?
Yep.
that pays you for that attention. Yes. And if you click on it, you get rewarded even further.
Yes, because I am the product. I know that Google's like, oh, we offer all this great. No. They're harnessing your data to sell backwards because that's how they make their money. Mm-hmm. And Facebook is the same way. Oh, Facebook's really great. I get to connect. No. Facebook is gathering your data Absolutely. So they can sell stuff back to you, right? Yes, I'm the product. You're the product. And by the way, and then the people who are like, I don't want to be tracked. I don't want the government coming for our stuff, blah, 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 blah. Awesome. Opt out. You don't have
to. And you can have your chain and permanently off the record.
Yep. Do it.
That's it.
Do it.
Yeah. The downside of that is currently what we haven't solved is so accessibility and security are diametrically opposed. So
accessibility, yes, got it.
So in the case right now, I have, call it this like widget, a wallet that holds, whatever cryptocurrency that I currently hold.
Right.
And it's like super secure, has this like gigantic private key that it's impossible to memorize. And you have these like passphrases that are totally randomized to kind of recover the password if you've lost it. Mm-hmm. But if you lose that, there's no way to recover password.
Because so it's too secure.
Because it's way too secure, and that's it. It's just, so if I have, 1,000 Bitcoin in a wallet, I wish I did, but I don't. And, all the security stuff, I have it like, for example, written on a piece of paper in 4 different pieces strewn throughout the house. Uh-huh. If knock on wood, my house goes on fire and
buy
1,000 Bitcoins. There's no way to recover it.
Right. So
because you can't prove that you're the holder of that wallet.
Right, because it's anonymous in the first place.
Yeah.
So now you, okay. So, but.
Sorry to put a tamper on it.
No. But that is a technology issue.
That is a fundamental
that
technology
That is not a philosophy issue.
Exactly.
The philosophy still remains. That will be solved in our lifetime.
Agreed.
If not in a decade. Yeah. This will, it may be biometrics, it might be something else, blah, 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 blah. I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I'm not worried
about that.
It's just the current iteration of it, like
right,
you said,
V1,
right?
Yeah.
Is, I can't think of anything else. Maybe I'm just super biased, probably am. Anything else in society that's like V1 that has this wide of an adoption, this kind of fervor around it. And it's unfortunate, it's just been kind of cast by, the will, the people that be in Congress, whatever.
Yeah.
The great orange president saying, hey, this is illicit, this is bad. Everyone who uses are crooks and criminals, but they're not actually looking at the underlying technology of it. It's really infuriating.
It is more a philosophical imperative than it is a tech issue.
That's a well
because,
put, yeah,
because
that's
the technology... Well technology will happen. It will happen. Mm-hmm. So it's actually how we implement this philosophically. And I think you've nailed it. I mean, I love this idea. I control my own destiny. If I want to sell it, I can sell it to the highest bidder. I don't have a problem with that if you do that. And we're getting this vaguely, is this democratic? Is it libertarian? I don't know where it falls in.
I don't necessarily think we can categorize it because everyone can choose.
You can use it how you want to use it. Do you want to use it to foster democracy? Yeah. Or do you want to use it to just go to your ranch and just stay there alone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can do it either. Wow.
So, I mean, it just, the one element of it, I guess, is, really just I think even the idea of having things publicly available in that very trackable, unchangeable way
right.
kind of scares people.
Right.
And I get that. But ultimately, that's kind of where society is moving whenever. So I think, like you said, literacy, I think, needs to come from the top down. So if I can just go on a quick tangent.
Please,
here,
tangent away.
In terms of just why top down matters, especially in places of government, right? So from the presidency on through to leaders of government, from a federal level to a state to local, whatever it is, there needs to be this idea, this fundamental understanding of whatever it is that you're doing, right? And that currently is lacking in all throughout government. So
they're 90 years old. Of them are 90 years old white dudes.
I get it. But doesn't mean you should stop learning, right?
Yeah.
So for example, I remember this quote, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but back when nuclear technology was still being developed and proliferated and all that, I remember President Nixon at the time giving a speech, and I'm paraphrasing again a little bit. He said something to the effect of, oh, I don't quite know what nuclear technology is. That's what the kind of the scientists are for.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, he's dictating and signing into law and policies that will drive the direction of nuclear energy, right? And the idea of, hey, I will make decisions that will persist through time whilst not understanding the underlying technology, like, get the hell out of here, man. Like, what are you doing? You can't say that publicly. And there's this idea that ignorance, like, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand the basics of nuclear technology. Like, yes. Sit down for a day with nuclear physicists and have them break it down for you.
Atom split, cause big boom. Big boom can be used for good. Big boom can be used for bad.
Yeah.
There we go. Like, that's it.
You know, just
there it is.
Oh, yeah, the kind of the laziness around it, especially in, you know, all levels of government. Like, this is new. We don't get it. It's bad.
Well, that is why this has been helpful to me, because we have made it accessible. It's just
hopefully we did.
I think so, and I think everyone should listen to this, because you just add letters to something and it creates a new thing, but it's still the same thing. You could go back and look at it, and it'll make the world a better place. I'm totally on board.
I love
with
your
this.
Abstraction. It's
it
distills down to the like.
That's what I try to do on this. I try to dumb it all down. Cheng Wong, this has been amazing.
Where can they
look at if someone wants to utilize Referium? Where can they find it?
You could just go to Referium.com. Check out our website there. We're a relatively new company, just over a year old. And we're still building products and kind of getting our stuff in a row and iterating and things like that. You know, all part of kind of the growing pains of a technology startup. But if you want to check out anything that we're doing, we have, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. Hit us up. You know,
I'll refer you. Cheng Wong, what a pleasure. This has been most illuminating. I hope this has been for you guys too. Thank you very much. Bye, Cheng.
Bye. Thank you, Austin.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.